Part 4. Delayed Exits from Chapter 11. Julianne Lopez-Toledo reports about three Chapter 11 debtors whose emergence from Chapter 11 has been delayed. Quigley, Flintcoat, and W.R. Grace. Quigley Company, Inc. has emerged from its heavily litigated Chapter 11 asbestos reorganization. U.S. Bankruptcy Judge Stuart M. Bernstein held on June 26, 2013, after a contested hearing, that Quigley Company, a wholly owned subsidiary of Pfizer, Inc., could emerge from its Chapter 11 reorganization despite a dissenting creditor class and an objecting group of asbestos personal injury claimants. The Quigley reorganization plan discharged at least $5.6 billion of current and future asbestos liability, providing Pfizer with an injunction barring further Quigley-related asbestos claims, and crammed down a rejecting class of silica personal injury claimants. Quigley, a former manufacturer of industrial refractory products used mostly in the steel industry, has been besieged since 1980 with massive asbestos litigation arising out of its manufacture and sale of three asbestos-containing products. When it filed its Chapter 11 petition, approximately 212,000 asbestos personal injury claims, totaling $1.2 billion, were pending against it and its corporate parent, Pfizer. Uncontradicted expert testimony during the case estimated about 260,000 future asbestos claims against Quigley, extending until 2058, with, quote, an undiscounted value of $4.4 billion. When Quigley sought Chapter 11 relief, Pfizer was also a defendant with respects to 280,000 claims, based on the claimant's asserted exposure to Quigley's products. The growing number of asbestos claims forced Quigley to file a Chapter 11 petition when its remaining insurance coverage, shared with and bought by Pfizer, began to erode. Pfizer contributed a total of $964 million in value to implement the Quigley reorganization plan. That contribution consisted of approximately $500 million of shared insurance assets, $260 million of cash, $126 million of secured debt forgiveness, and a $44 million commercial building occupied under a long-term lease generating at least $2.5 million a year through 2026. In addition to its planned contribution, Pfizer had paid another $1.25 billion to other large groups of claimants who had asserted claims against it. The details of these non-planned settlements were disclosed during the Chapter 11 case. The federal courts issued no less than 18 decisions during the contentious Quigley case. Most recently, the United States Supreme Court denied Pfizer's petition for a writ of certiorari regarding a 2012 decision by the Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit, holding that the injunction obtained by Quigley for the benefit of Pfizer had certain limits. In that decision, the Court of Appeals also held that Quigley had properly obtained the injunction, reaffirming the bankruptcy court's broad jurisdiction to protect Quigley's critically important insurance assets. Other decisions by the Southern District of New York and the Bankruptcy Court during the case affirmed the validity of Quigley's preliminary injunction, staying suits against Pfizer, Quigley's classification of its creditors, and denied an effort to have a trustee or examiner appointed to investigate Quigley's affairs. Critically important to the courts, Quigley had an independent board of directors and counsel with no ties to Pfizer. The court had denied confirmation of Quigley's earlier reorganization plan because of what it viewed as Pfizer's improper settlements with certain claimants and inadequate contribution to the plan. After further negotiations with Quigley, the creditors committee, and future claimants' representative, Pfizer increased its plan contribution by at least $750 million. Pfizer also settled with a key group of litigants and their counsel for another $820 million to cover its separate liability. An entire class of silica personal injury claimants had voted against the Quigley plan because Quigley proved, without contradiction, that A, it had reasonably and properly placed the silica claimants in a separate class, B, the silica claimants would receive less in a Chapter 7 liquidation than they would get under the plan, and C, no class of creditors or shareholders junior to the class would receive anything. The court crammed down the silica class, i.e., held that its acceptance was unnecessary. One group of asbestos claimants objected to the Quigley plan, arguing that it had been proposed in bad faith because Pfizer had settled its own liabilities with other claimants but not with this group. The objectors also challenged Quigley's classification of creditor claims, Pfizer's payments to other settlers, and the court's allocation of Pfizer's derivative liability, 23%, for Quigley's direct asbestos liability. After receiving undisputed evidence from Quigley and Pfizer going to the parties in good faith, Quigley's independence from Pfizer and the future viability of Quigley's reorganized business, the court rendered its decision from the bench after hearing arguments. It found that Quigley's plan had been proposed in good faith. Quigley had properly classified the different categories of creditors. Quigley was entitled to, quote, cram down the class of silica claimants despite their rejection of the plan. Its prior allocation of Pfizer's derivative liability remained valid, and that Quigley's plan was in the best interests of Quigley's creditors. Flint Coat Company and Flint Coat Mines Limited have asked the bankruptcy court to extend their exclusive periods to file a proposed Chapter 11 plan until November 30, 2013, and solicit acceptances for that plan until January 31, 2014, respectively. This is the debtor's 25th motion for exclusivity extensions. The court had granted 24 prior extensions of the exclusive periods. On December 21, 2012, the court entered its memorandum opinion, overruling objections to the amended joint plan of reorganization, confirming the plan, and recommending the affirmation of confirmation and the so-called Section 524G injunction. On January 4, 2013, Imperial Tobacco Canada Limited and certain of its wholly owned subsidiaries, including Genstar Corporation, ITCAN, filed a notice of appeal from the confirmation opinion and the confirmation order. And the appeal is pending before the district court. ITCAN and the plan proponents have each submitted all of their briefs, and the district court has scheduled a hearing on July 31st to consider oral arguments concerning the appeal. According to Flint Coat, the plan proponents' cooperative efforts to confirm a consensual plan will be protected by extending the exclusive periods. The plan represents extensive negotiations between the plan proponents and their cooperative efforts to formulate a consensual plan of reorganization that successfully rehabilitates Flint Coat and maximizes the pool of assets available to its creditors. The Official Committee of Asbestos Personal Injury Claimants and the legal representative of future asbestos claimants support the relief sought. In line with the recent retirement of former bankruptcy judge Judith Fitzgerald, Flint Coat's Chapter 11 case has been reassigned to Judge Mary F. Walrath of the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the District of Delaware. W.R. Grace was due in court June 17th for a hearing over its bankruptcy restructuring plan. Bank lenders' appeal of orders confirming W.R. Grace & Company's plan were scheduled to be argued before the U.S. Court of Appeals in Philadelphia. The plan, which was confirmed by the bankruptcy and district courts, can't be implemented because pre-bankruptcy secured bank lenders filed an appeal. The banks argue that they are entitled to $185 million in interest on their claims because shareholders are retaining stock worth $4.9 billion. Banks filing the appeal include Bank of America N.A., Barclays Bank PLC, and J.P. Morgan Chase Bank N.A. Grace, which has been in bankruptcy protection for an astounding 12 years, has nevertheless thrived, helped by the shale revolution. Obviously, we're all eager to come out of bankruptcy, says CFO Hudson LaForce. Grace has projected to complete its reorganization by the end of the year. It filed for Chapter 11 in April 2001. The Troubled Company Reporter provides detailed reporting about every Chapter 11 filing nationwide. Stay tuned to learn more about obtaining a trial subscription to the TCR at no cost or obligation. That concludes Part 4 of the report. The report concludes in Part 5.